Okay, if you'll join me in the call to worship. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me.
For I am poor and needy.
You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord.
For to you do I cry all day long.
Gladden the soul of your servant.
For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
Turn to me and be gracious to me.
Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl.
Show me a sign of your favor.
Because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Thank you, Mindy and Kathy and Jonathan. We may not be able to sing together, but we certainly can enjoy the beauteous sounds that are coming from our music leadership. So thank you. And by the way, Tim is up here recording these. I'm not sure if we're going to put them up on our Facebook or web page, but we're trying something out because hopefully next week we're going to start another service. If this flies, we'll be in good shape. And that service will be for people who must wear masks and can't be with us otherwise. So it's all very exciting. With that, and I don't want to lose that, I would like to invite you to pray with me. Oh, dear God, your word is music unto our ears. Open our ears that we might hear it fully. Open our hearts that we might absorb its meaning. Open our minds and our bodies that we may take action based upon it. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are continuing this week in Paul's letter to the Romans. It's a little complicated. It's a little difficult, especially for Father's Day. But listen now for Paul's word, which is God's word. For God's people. Therefore, what shall we say? Should we continue sinning so grace will multiply? Absolutely not. All of us died to sin. How can we still live in it? Or don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in the newness of life. If we were united together in a death like his, we will also be united together in a resurrection like his. This is what we know. The person that we used to be was crucified with him in order to get rid of the corpse that had been controlled by sin. That way we wouldn't be slaves to sin anymore, because a person who has died has been freed from sin's power. But if we died with Christ, we have faith that we will also live with him. We know that Christ has been raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. He died to sin once and for all with his death, but he lives for God with his life. In the same way, you should also consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive for God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, sometimes, more often than not, it's hard to figure out where Paul is coming from. And this passage makes you feel like you've walked in on a heady discussion midstream. So let's go back a little bit. What leads into this is his serious discussion about two ideas. A, from Adam through Moses, death, that is the final and complete cutoff from God, comes to everyone. Because all people have sinned since Adam first disobeyed his creator. And B, because Jesus was entirely obedient to God's will, many, many people will be spared that separation and be reconciled to the Father's love forever. So Adam's turning from God leads to never-ending death. But Jesus' way leads us to eternal life, to grace. And not just for Jesus, but for all who have ever or will ever sin. Which brings us to Paul's question in the opening of today's passage. So what are we going to say? Should we continue sinning so grace will multiply? As humans, intentionally or not, we will fail to follow God's commandments. But does Jesus' gift of grace allow us to keep on making mistakes? If God's grace is so abundant and offered to all people because of Jesus' love, then why do we need to stop sinning? Doesn't greater sin, more sin, invite greater and more grace? So a pastoral colleague of mine tells a story about her son. When the boy was in preschool, as preschoolers will, he accidentally spilled an entire carton of milk on the kitchen floor. That family cat sure was happy. And Mommy did her best to keep her cool while mopping up the mess. After all, the poor little guy was truly upset over his clumsy error. So she comforted him, saying everything was going to be fine, not to worry. See, now the whole floor is nice and clean. And to that, he replied, "Ooh, maybe I should spill on the floor more often." Probably not. In fact, Paul answers that boy's idea by saying, absolutely not. And then he begins to talk about baptism. Baptism? Sin? And baptism? Isn't baptism something we do to sweet little babies? How can they sin? It's a big question, actually. Tiny babies are completely unable to feed or care for themselves. They cannot put two words together to form a sentence. Yet, they still have time to figure out what the difference is between good and bad. So it's a safe assumption that they cannot figure out how to turn their backs on God. But humankind has been mired in pride and greed and arrogance for so long, since Adam, that we cannot see how far we have come from God. We've turned far, far away. It's like we've walked into a cave without a flashlight and have turned around so many different corners trying to get out that we simply become more and more lost. We are surrounded by darkness and cannot find our way home, even though we try. A friend of mine made an offhand remark to an employee once. The words came out of her upbringing. They weren't overly racist, but they did come from another era. And the employee sure did feel as though her words belittled him. Her words made him feel as though he was of little value in her world. She honestly had no idea she had said something so demeaning. Yet, she had unintentionally sinned against him. Ouch. And when the error of her way was pointed out to her, she apologized. She did the right thing. Others may not have done so. Sin. Or sin compounded. All of us need to be rescued, but everyone else on this earth is in the same dark cave. We cannot rescue ourselves. We are hopelessly lost. So, in love for creation, God has sent God's light into the world. And through the life and love of the only holy, complete human, Jesus, God offers everyone on earth forgiveness. Forgiveness for not loving God as God has loved us. Forgiveness for not loving each other. So the act of baptism is a sign to all of our faith that God has forgiven us through Christ Jesus. Baptism is our heartfelt response to that grace, and it seals us back into God's being where we are promised we will be wholly complete when we pass from this earth. But alas, I have digressed somewhat from that question about babies and baptism. Generally, parents and sometimes grandparents who bring a little one forward to be sprinkled or patted with a bit of water are generally doing so as an expression of their faith and love for God. They trust in Jesus as Savior and intend to raise the child in faith. The Holy Spirit has moved their hearts and has surrounded them and the child in love and forgiveness, their love for both God and for their child who came from God, witnesses to the belief that God does indeed claim people in love even before they are able to respond in faith. What a blessing that act of love is. Now, witnessing a child's baptism absolutely touches our hearts, doesn't it? The fragile gowns handed down from generation to generation, the tenderness of the parents as they hand the baby to pastor to receive the blessing. It's all pretty wonderful. But how many of you have been a part of an adult baptism? Show of hands. Couple, three, four, yeah. These days, most Presbyterians don't experience those. So the rest of us, just imagine, if you will, the look of amazement on the face of the man who's felt a handful of water poured over his forehead and realized that whatever he's done or will do in his life has been forgiven. While I was in Palestine, I saw some folks down by the river to pray, but they were being dropped backwards into that river, that Jordan River. It was intense. They had to trust the person who carried them down to the water enough to believe that they would not be dropped, pushed under, or worse, drown upside down in the flowing brown stream. Yet, as Paul said, they were being united with Christ in a death like his, so they could also be united together in a resurrection like his. They had to have faith that by dying with Christ, they will also live with him in a life like his, in a resurrection like his. They had to have faith that by dying with Christ, they will also live with him, that the final separation from God's love, death, has been stopped by Jesus's love. And at the same time, they had to know that they couldn't keep turning away from God willingly or easily. To do so would be denying God's grace and therefore denying whom they had become in those waters of life. Not that baptism makes life any easier. Any of us might speak rudely or use inflammatory words against someone in a conversation. Verbal violence, that is, accusations, slurs, and the like, well, it's very common these days, and it's very hard to overcome. And those who abuse themselves with drugs will still need great courage to overcome the urge to numb out from life's destruction. Baptism is simply the mark of what God has already done for us. And on our own, or someone else's baptism, we are reminded that there is hope for our lives. In the meanwhile, we will be faced with sin day in and day out. We will be forever surrounded by darkness. Yet there is a light in that cave with us. It reminds us that with God's help, as guided by the Holy Spirit, we have been freed from sin and can turn from its power. Even so, sometimes we're going to fall. But all is not hopeless. In Matthew 10, Jesus tells his disciples they shouldn't fear those who can merely kill a person's body. Instead, they should be afraid of those who can kill both the body and the soul in hell. After all, our bodies are earthen vessels that wear out and wither away with time. But our souls, to turn away from God is to lose our souls in sin. And we were not marked with the water of life to be thrown into the fires of Sheol. Remember, too, from Matthew 10, Jesus also reminded the 12 this. Aren't two sparrows sold for a small coin? Not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it already. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I love to see the vultures that are drying their wings up on the crest of the church's roof line over there above the office. It's been fascinating. And the flash of cardinal red and jay blue make me smile. But the ordinariness of little brown house sparrows touches my heart. They care for God's world with their tiny little pecking and their little tiny chirps. And they are of great worth to God. But we, who are created in God's own image, are worth more. Our baptismal rites, which we will speak today in our profession of faith, tell us that by water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined in Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. So through the gift of baptism, we are asked to obey Jesus' words. And we respond with joy to God's grace-filled forgiveness by doing so, knowing that we need never fear death's separation from God. Never. For we have been forgiven through him. Thanks be to God that in baptism, our Father retrieves us from sin and seals us to show that we all belong to God. Amen. Thank you.
Let us profess our faith together. Please stand if you are able. Let us say together, through the sacrament of baptism, we enter the covenant God established through Jesus Christ. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Within this covenant, God gives us new life, strengthens us, and nurtures us in love.
Through this covenant, we choose whom we will serve by turning from evil and turning to Jesus Christ. Therefore, I ask, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world?
I do.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, with God's help.
Thank you.
go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Help the weak. Support the faint-hearted. Heal the sick. Love one another. And love God, the God who loves you so much that you have been forgiven for your sins. You have been saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So go out to share the good news with everyone this day and always, going and knowing that God the Father's love, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that draws us together in the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.